story begins. They got into the boat. Jesus was asleep. What happened on the water? A storm or a tempest came. They came to Jesus, verse 25, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." Jesus said they had little faith, verse 26, "He arose, rebuked the sea, and there was instant calm." Verse 27, what's revealed about the disciples in verse 27? What'd they say? "Who is this that even the winds and the waves..." So what had they just seen? Was there evidence for faith when you come to John 6? Absolutely. So Jesus says this to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread to feed this?" That was a test for Philip. And sometimes the Lord tested people that way in the Scripture. Now, He's not walking around amongst us today to speak to us like He spoke to Philip to give us a similar kind of test, but we do have record of this in the Scripture. Does God test man today? Not to do evil, but in this sense. Would you think that He does? I think He does. And maybe the better example for us today will be the next one here. Sometimes it's a command of God that tests us. And we look at Abraham to offer up Isaac. Top of page 8 is where we are now. Sometimes God will want to test us to determine the genuineness of our faith. All right? Turn to Genesis 22. Let's look at this real quickly and place a marker there. We want to come back to Genesis 22 and look at something else before we go any further than where we will right now. Genesis 22. Here's the command. Scott, read for us, please, verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 22. Drop down to verse 9, Scott, and read 9 through 12 for us. Now, there's the gist of the story, and it's one that we've studied several times. Now, hold your place there. Turn to Hebrews 11. Let's look at the Hebrew writer commenting on this through inspiration. Hebrews 11. And we'll jump in at verse 17. Brother Merle, would you read Hebrews 11 for us, 17 through 19, please? Okay, thank you. Now, both Genesis 22 and verse 1 and Hebrews 11 and verse 17, they both say God tested Abraham. And it was by a command. Now, let's review just a couple of facts that are germane to the story. How long had they waited for Isaac? A lifetime. How old was Abraham when he was first promised a heritage or a seed? He was 75 in Genesis 12 when he first received the promise. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? He was 100. He had to wait 25 years for this child of promise to come. Now, however old Isaac is now, we don't know how old he is. He's old enough to carry the firewood up the mountain, so he's a boy. maybe even a young teenager. We don't know how old he was. That's not the point. Now, what's God say to do? Waited all this time for this child. Now, what's God say? Take him out there and kill him. Slay him. Offer him up to me. That's a great test of faith, isn't it? That's a test. Now, that's not an inducement to do evil, because God, remember James 1, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone to do evil. That's not in God's nature. This was to test Abraham's faith. This was not a stumbling block for Abraham. This was an opportunity for Abraham to rise in his faith and to show his love for God, just how much he would obey the Lord. Yes? Okay. Right. There's no... what would he gain by killing his son? So, being tempted to do evil would certainly... I think that's a good point to make. All right. Now, what I want to focus on is a couple of points here. Let's first look at Abraham's words, what he said, as well as what he thought, that give us an idea of his fear or his awe toward God. Back in Genesis 22, the verses that Scott read for us, he read 1 and 2 and then 9 through 12. When this whole thing was over through verse 12, Abraham had the knife up, ready to plunge it into his own son, and God stopped him. Verse 12 again, what's he say? He says, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know what? You fear God. You have this reverence or this awe for God." Abraham passed the test? He most certainly did. But is there any indication of his faith before this last moment? Well, yeah, there is. Look back in verse, we didn't read this. This is verse 5. After Abraham receives the instructions to go and offer Isaac. Verse 3, Abraham rose early in the morning. Now, there are several good points we could make here. When God says to do something, and especially if it's a tough command, if it's a tough test, what should be our attitude? One of procrastination? What's Abraham's action here? Verse 3. He rose early. He rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering. Imagine what that was going through his mind as he split that wood. He knew what it was for. Had to break his heart. He's the father. He loved his son. Split the wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Now watch what he says here, verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, that is his servants, "You stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder." And then what's he say? We will worship and return to you. He didn't say, "I'm going to come back." He said, "We will come back." What's already in his mind? Does he know how it's going to work out? He doesn't have a clue how it's going to work out. All he knows is, my faith is in God. God is, this command of God is an extreme challenge to me at this moment, but I'm going to do what the Lord said. And God is going to be who He is, and He'll work this out. I don't know how. Don't ask me how. But it'll get worked out. Now, what do you call that? That's faith. That's exactly what faith is. And Abraham said that. Now, what about his mind? Well, we go back to Hebrews 11 for that. Hebrews 11, the verses that Brother Merle read for us. And verse 19 is the clue for that. What did he think? Again, this gets to the idea of he didn't know any particulars how it was going to work out, but what did he think? At least what was a possibility? Yes, I'm going to take his life because that's what God said to do. But what can God do? God can raise him up again. I can't do that, but God can do that. Now, that's if God chose to do that. In Abraham's mind, he could have been thinking, God may not choose to do that. He may leave him dead once I plunge the knife into him. But that's up to God. So here's a man who said something to the young servants. He said this, "We will come back to you." And he thought this based on Hebrews 11. All right, we're back in business. I apologize for that. I'm sure I was saying something important. What was it now? But help me out. This idea of Abraham being tested. Sometimes a command of God will challenge us. And we don't have to know the details. All we have to know is, if I can understand what God said, then I better find a way to muster up my strength, my moral courage, and do it, and let God work out all the rest of the details. That's faith. But by what he said and by what he thought, the Bible helps us that. Now, to me, I want you to lay beside the story of Abraham, this other story of Philip and Andrew. I believe this is precisely what was lacking in the response of Philip and Andrew. This idea of Abraham's faith. I know I'm not, to me, they're not the exact same situations. There's a little bit of a difference. But the basic idea, I think, is the same. When the Lord said, where are we to buy food? Where are we to buy enough bread for this mass of people? Based on what they'd already seen, what could the apostles have said? We don't need to buy food. You're the Son of God. You can do anything you want to do. That would have been an expression of their faith, wouldn't it? They would have known. I've already seen the evidence. My belief in you is firm and committed. We don't have to go buy any bread. It's not necessary. You can feed this mass horde of people. So think about these two as they compare one to another. All right. Again, before we leave this idea about Abraham and Isaac, as I've already said, God wasn't testing Abraham to find a flaw in his character. If the devil's going to test you, what's his intention? Yes, right. He's going to try to find that chink in your armor, that weak spot. That's what he's going to hone in on. That's not what God's doing when he tests us. That's not his purpose. Not his purpose at all. God didn't want Abraham to fail. He wanted him to succeed. And this test of offering up his only son was an opportunity for Abraham to show his faith. Not to fail, but to actually rise in faith. God never discredits us. Satan is the accuser. Satan is the opponent. And think again of the story of Job. Did he have anything nice to say about Job before God? No, he slandered him. And really, by insinuation, he slandered God too. Saying, well, you've paid Job off. You put a hedge around him. Of course he's going to serve you. He's bought and paid for. But when God tests us, it's not to discredit us. Really, it's an opportunity for us to rise in our faith. Now, we have to be careful. What would we rather not have? What would be the easier way to live? No tests. Just give me smooth sailing. Well, what happens to faith if it's not tested? What if your faith is never tested? Yeah, it's not much of faith, is it? Yeah, faith is courage in action, isn't it? It's not just, oh, here's what I think, or here's what I believe. But it's what we believe. It's our moral courage put to some action. Do I believe enough to do what God said? Yes, Andy. Okay. And that's a good point to bring up, Andy. He's reminding us that at all times God gives us free will. Abraham could have said, now look, I had to wait so long for this child. I just can't find it in my heart to kill him. I'm just not going to do that. Let's work out something else. He could have chose to respond that way. But that wouldn't have been pleasing, of course, at all to God. So, yes. I'm sorry, I can't. James chapter 1. Yes, James 1, verses 2 through 4, right? Yeah. I think that's somewhere else here in the lesson. I have that written down. Let's go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. Wayne's reminding us of what James says in verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Some versions may actually have the word temptations. But again, we know that James is not saying that we ought to be thankful that we've been induced to do evil. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the testing of faith or the trials that we enter. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, and most versions have the word patience, but the better word is endurance. That's what the word really means, to endure something. And let endurance or patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect or complete, lacking in nothing. So that does go along with the idea of faith's got to get tested, or it's not much of faith at all. What happens when faith is tested, and like Abraham, we rise to the challenge and we pass the test? And what's that do for us? Well, what's that show God, first of all? Well, what did Abraham's actions show God? He believed. Remember, he said, verse 12, "Now I know that you fear me." All right, so if we pass the test, what does that do for us? For our faith? Makes you stronger for the next time. For the next time, when either God will test you again, or even worse, Satan will come to tempt you. And the inducement is to do evil. Not just to pass a hard command of God, but to actually do wrong. And so if we always look for the path of least resistance, and we never want to be tested, what kind of future are you going to have? You'll just be easy prey for the devil. I'm not saying go out and look for it. We don't have to go out and look for tests. They're there. They'll come to us. God will test us and Satan will tempt us. But my fear is we try to run away from those. And we can't run away. We have to just meet them through providence and through God allowing Satan to tempt us. We just have to face them and do the best we can. Rely on our faith and our love for the Lord and our strength in His Word, and we can pass these tests and overcome these temptations. Yes? Faith defies logic? Yes. That's a good point. In fact, Hebrews 11 uses several examples of faith that defies logic. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Well, now, what logical reason was it to go out there and march and blow and shout to bring a city wall down? That made no sense at all. Other than, that's what God said to do, right? Yes. 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 Defies logic. That's a good point to make. Absolutely. So let's keep in mind how temptations and trials differ. Abraham, test versus temptation. Tempting someone to do evil is sinister. And this characteristic does not define God. We read James 1:13 already. God cannot be tempted by evil. He Himself does not tempt anyone. God is, 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. See, it's not God's nature to put this obstacle out here in front of you. I said, now let's see how old Smith does with that. That's not God's nature. That's the devil's nature, absolutely. And that's the temptation. So if we're tested, let's see it for the good that it can bring us, strengthening of our faith, rather than to begrudge God in such a way. All right? Now, just real quickly, we'll start this, then we'll have to stop because class time's almost over. Temptation, that's to say, the inducement to do evil, also differs from trials in the way that the Scripture uses that. All of us are going to face adverse times, and sometimes adversity will be adversity that is the lot of all men. Tough times in living. But sometimes also adversity will come, and the Scripture speaks about this as well. The Lord said, we're going to be facing adverse conditions because of our faith. Some people in the world are not going to face trials that you and I face simply because they're not trying to live for the Lord. But sometimes a bad economy affects everybody. Bad health can affect everybody. That's irrespective of believing or having faith. So, starting class on Wednesday, we'll start talking about how temptation differs from trials, if you will, and then we'll proceed on through lesson 3. Thank you for your good comments and your good attention this morning.